Listen, did you wake up cold this morning? At my house, we've had so much rain that literally I look like I'm sitting on an island. And I went out this morning and everything was frozen. So we could have just skied right across our cars. I do have a few announcements before we get into the Word. As you can see, Pastor Carl and Miss Brenda, they're not here today. At this very moment, they're driving to North Carolina to participate in his uncle's funeral, who passed away last week. So if you remember them as they travel and minister to their family, he passed away with COVID. And so we pray for you, Pastor Carl and Miss Brenda, today as you travel. Also, one of our very own, Wayne Johnson, who sat right back here on the back, on the corner. He went home to be with the Lord this past week. And I can tell you, he's a happy camper. I've known Wayne a long time. And I never knew him as Wayne, though. I always knew him as Easy Step. And when I met him, he looked like Willie Nelson. He had a real long beard and long hair. And I left the city. That's where we knew each other from. And about 15 years later, 18 years later, he come walking through the back doors of Abundant Life and grabbed me. He scared me because I didn't know who he was. And he didn't look like Willie Nelson. He looked more like Johnny Cash. Clean shaven and cut. And just goes to show you what Jesus can do in a life. And my friend I know is with the Lord today. But his service is going to be Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the National Cemetery. And it will start promptly at 11 a.m. there. So if you would like to come, it's outside at the National Cemetery. On February the 14th, Laverne and Edith Tripp will be here to minister to us. We will welcome them with a lot of love. And on Tuesday night, Pastor Carl will be in Spartanburg participating in our Bishop Houston Miles' memorial service. And we're going to put a link on our webpage that if you would like to watch the memorial service for Bishop Miles, we'll send it out, and you can just click on it, and it'll take you to the service there. And the last thing I will mention before we get into the Word is the offering. We thank you so much. I always want to just say thank you for your faithfulness in giving, because you're just so faithful, and thank you for that. And God bless you for that. He is doing a lot of stuff, and even through one of the rockiest years I can ever remember in my life, God is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So thank you for your giving. Today's title of my message is Interrupted by a Miracle. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 8, chapter 40 through 56. And it's a passage that we're all familiar with. But I'm going to read it. And then we're just going to talk through this a little bit. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him to come to his house. Hold on. I got to get to where I can see. My bifocals just went all weird on me. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and they said this, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Jesus said, "Stop wailing. She's not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Now, there's some players in this story. Jesus, a man named Jairus, and a sick lady. Now, Jairus, listen, he was a ruler in the synagogue. He had some high duties. He was the administrator of the business. He was over all the building maintenance and upkeep. And he was over worship supervision. His characteristics were this. He was well known. He wasn't a poor fella. He was a man of great respect. He was married and the father of one daughter, one teenager, a 12-year-old. And if he were living today and living in America, you could say he would be considered to be living the American dream. And then there was another player, a sick lady. About the same time that Jairus' daughter was born, she was being diagnosed with an issue of bleeding. She was sick for 12 years. Her bleeding issue was incurable because it had said she had gone to the doctors. She'd spent all her money, and she was still sick. She was tired. She was worn out, and she was broke. You could say she was exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. As different as these two people were, they had so much in common, as we will see. As different as me and you are from one another, we have so much in common. We have a common need, Jesus. Now, Jairus, he was living a nightmare outside the synagogue. In the synagogue, I'm sure he was carrying on his duties. He was doing what was expected of him. But outside of that place, his personal life, he was living a nightmare. He was watching his one and only daughter, who had yet to experience her teenage year, die. He was facing something that no mama and no daddy would ever want to face. I can only imagine what that man was thinking in his conversations with God. Maybe something like this: "Lord, I work in the church. I serve your people. I follow all the religious rules. I'm doing everything right. And yet, my daughter is dying." Now, I listen to No Shoes Nation. I listened to it. They were talking about this morning what they listened to on the radio. Well, I listen to No Shoes Radio. It's a little twist between country, reggae, and little Jimmy Buffett, if you will. And Kenny Chesney recorded a song years ago, and it said, "There Goes My Life." And it's all about a daddy who has a little girl, and he watches that little girl grow up all through her life, and then all of a sudden she's going to go to school, and he's standing on the corner watching his baby girl drive off down the road and say, "There goes my life." You know, I feel like Jairus was thinking, "There goes my life." Our dreams and our hopes of this sweet baby girl is dying. But while Jairus and his family were living in that nightmare, there was a sick lady who was not doing very well either in a lot of ways. God bless that lady. She was ceremonial unclean because of her issue. So she couldn't go to church. And she couldn't worship. She was considered unclean by her friends, so she couldn't even receive a hug or a pat on the back to say, "You're going to be all right." And she had been to every doctor in town, and now she was out of money, and she was out of options. Now, Jesus had been teaching across the lake in Gentile territory, and you know it's Gentile territory when I tell you what happened. He was out there, and there was a demon-possessed man who had been hiding out in the burial tombs there, and he was just out of control, wouldn't wear clothes. It wasn't that he couldn't, he just would not. He preferred it naked, running around out there in the graveyards. And when Jesus stumbled across him, man, that guy cried out. He just cried out, "Hey, don't send us into the dark abyss." It wasn't him crying out, it was the demons that were in him. And he said, "Why don't you just cast us into a herd of pigs over there?" So Jesus did. He set that man free, and those demons went in those pigs, and those pigs went wild. And they run off the edge of the cliff. Now you say, why was he in Gentile territory? Well, Jews didn't eat hogs. They didn't eat pork. Don't eat pork. It just lets you see how destructive the devil is. Because in an instant, he destroyed a herd of swine. He destroyed somebody's income. He destroyed somebody's business in an instant. And because of that, when the people arrived, they saw that demon-possessed man sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And great fear come among those people. Then they see that their pigs were gone and run over that hill. And they, probably not so gently or quietly, asked Jesus to leave. "Mister, you need to leave. Like, get in your boat and row back across to the other side of the lake." So he did. And when Jesus arrived, word had already spread about what he had done. Listen, they didn't have email. They didn't have cell phones. But somebody was rowing mighty fast to get across that water to tell everybody on the other side of that lake what Jesus had just done, because a crowd had already gathered there to meet him, because they wanted to see the man who cast out a demon. They wanted to see the man who had calmed the storm. They wanted to touch him and know him and just see him. They wanted to see the great miracle worker. And in that crowd, there was two people, Jairus and that sick lady. It said that Jairus fell at Jesus' feet. You know what? The crowd was so big there. The crowd was so, it was almost mobbish, because they almost crushed Jesus. Peter even said that. "They're crushing in on us. How in the world can you know who touched you?" But we'll get to that in a minute. But they were crushed in. But Jairus fell at Jesus' feet. So he had to have some kind of respect in that community to make room for the ruler of the synagogue. Because when he got to Jesus, if you imagine standing next to someone, you have a certain amount of room to do that. Now imagine laying in front of someone, it takes a certain amount of room to do that. But it says he fell at Jesus' feet and he pleaded. That word pleaded in the Greek is begged. I'm not talking about standing on the side of the road with a sign, "Help needed." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anguish, begging for Jesus to come and heal my daughter. He begged him, God. Imagine he would say, "You are the only hope she has. But we have to leave, like, right now. because I'm sure everybody here wants to see you. But I'm telling you, you need to go right now with me. Because time is short. That guy who was of such respect found himself humbled. He let it all go because it didn't matter. It didn't matter his class, his status in the community. It all went away whenever it got down to the rubber meat in the road about what was most important. And what was most important in that man's life was that little girl not being sick. And it didn't matter what he looked like. He wanted Jesus to heal her. So humility. It was not expected for a ruler like that guy to throw himself down in front of an itinerant preacher and ask him to do anything. But it didn't matter because he knew Jesus had the power. You know, when is the last time, I asked myself this question, I was so desperate for something that I begged God for it. Those important things in life, which doesn't include money and status, but God, your presence, your peace, your hope, your love. God, I need that. And I need it so much that I'm desperate for it. And I'm not just asking you, Lord, I'm begging you for it in the most humble way that I know how. There was a lady, and this is reality today. There was a lady who called Amber, my daughter, last night. And she had found herself in this situation that she had been begging God to touch her 24-year-old son who was in McLeod Hospital with COVID. And she called us last night at 6:30 to tell us that he had passed away. And so I find myself before God saying, God, she needs your peace. She has so many doubts. She has so much hurt. And she's confused. And Lord, she wasn't even there to get to say goodbye. Man, the reality of where we're living and the need of God in our lives is unprecedented. As Jesus and Jairus was walking on the way to Jairus' house for Jesus to touch his little girl, something happened. Something happened. And they were interrupted by a miracle. Because you see, the sick lady, while Jairus was in front of Jesus, the sick lady was behind Jesus, pushing through that crowd with every ounce of strength that she had left in her body. And she made it to him and just grabbed his cloak. And as soon as she did, Jesus knew that he had been touched in a very different way. And he said, who touched me? I want to know who touched me. Because that touch made a difference in Jesus' life. Something happened. And Jairus in front of him, I could imagine, was going, we need to go now. We need to go now. And I imagine the tension was pretty intense. We need to go now to my daughter. But Jesus is going, somebody just touched me. And I know they touched me. And Peter's on the other side of him, probably rolling his eyes going, my goodness, Jesus, look around you. Everybody's trying to touch you. Everybody in the whole crowd's trying to touch you, Jesus. Come on, we got to go to Jairus. No, somebody touched me. Stop. Everything stops. I want to know who it was that touched me. Well, I could see Peter huffing. You know, I could just see him rolling his eyes and huffing like, this man's crazy. But Jesus wanted to know. And nobody confessed up of it. And eventually, the lady, knowing she was going to be found out, confessed that it was me. It was me. And then it said, she told him that she had been sick. You know how humiliating that probably was for her, humbled before the Lord. I have been sick. But whenever I touched you, whenever I got just close enough to touch you, Jesus, I was immediately well. What the doctor couldn't do, what my money couldn't buy, immediately touched by the power in your life whenever I just touched you. And Jesus said to her, your faith has made you well. Well, that was a physical thing. But you know, this lady had been probably living in isolation for 12 years. On her own for 12 years. An outcast for 12 years. She was an emotional wreck. And all of a sudden, she was well. And I love this. I love what Jesus said. Because it really supersedes any physical healing. He said, go in peace. You get up and you go home and you have peace. I love that. And while that is going on, Jairus is probably panicking. She's dying. She's dying. She's dying. I needed something. And then that lady interrupted what I needed when she received her miracle. She's got what she's wanting, and I'm needing to get to go to where I need what I want. And one of the people at Jairus' house came over and told Jairus, he said, listen, man, she died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Now, Jesus is talking to this lady, and this guy's talking to Jairus. This crowd is really loud and pressing in on all of them. And Jesus hears what is being said over there. Can I tell you something? It don't matter the noise in the world, the noise in your life, the noise that's going around you, the noise in your head. Jesus can hear what you're saying. He is not hard of hearing. He doesn't need hearing aids. He don't need it. And when he heard that, he looked over at Jairus and he said three things. Hey man, don't be afraid. You just believe and you watch because she will live. Now, that guy was on an emotional roller coaster. He had gone and begged in front of all those people for God to come, for Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And Jesus said, hey, let's go. Aha. And then all of a sudden, they come and say, don't bother, she's dead. Hello. And then Jesus looks at him and says, hey, just believe. Come on, we'll go. Back up again. Oh. So the two went to the house of Jairus. And Jesus walked in. And people made fun of him when he said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. The crowd there, they were already in mourning and crying, and as we all would be. And Jesus said, she's not dead. And so he took the mama and daddy and three of his disciples, and they went in the room, put everybody else out. Y'all laughed at me, you need to go stand outside. And he took that little girl by the hand and told her to get up. And her spirit came back in her body. And that sweet baby girl got up. And he told the mom and daddy, now you give her something to eat. I've done what I came to do. Now you feed her because she's hungry. That was probably one of the happiest meals that family had ever had together. Now Jairus and that sick lady, they were both in a desperate situation. Jairus and that sick lady, they were both humbled near Jesus. And Jairus and that sick lady had no other options. There was no other options. There was no one else to call on. There was nothing else for them except Jesus. Now, let's fast forward 2,000 plus years to the year 2020. More specifically, December the 27th, 2020. Lori and I had, it was the Sunday that I wasn't here. And we had gone to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to spend some Christmas with her sister and her family. And we got up there. We pulled our little camper up the hill. And we actually drove the Jeep, Tracy. We got 3 miles to the gallon. And every time we would go about 50 miles, I'd have to stop and fill it up. Pulling out, we will not be doing that again. But we got up there, and about 8 o'clock that night, we got a call from Amber and said that Justin, who is my son, Larry's son, he's my son, he's in my family, our drummer, was having heart problems. Said, "Daddy, we don't know what to do." Said, "His heart's not right. He's skipping beats, it's flipping and fluttering, and he's having a little bit of pain. We don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, go to the hospital." You know. And so they called a couple of friends of theirs and a nurse and said, "Yeah, come on in and let's just check him out right fast." So we're 6 hours away, and we can't get here, and we're praying for Justin. We're believing God to touch Justin's heart. And so we carry that all night long, and he goes home and rests, and we're praying for him the next day, still believing God that Justin is going to be touched. And in the midst of that, our prayer was interrupted by a miracle. We needed God to touch Justin. That was our prayer. On December the 28th, which is a Monday, Justin calls me. It's never good when you hear these words. "Listen, man, he's all right." I'd heard that before in 2012. And my son John was coming home on Potato House Road. He overcorrected on the highway when he ran off, and he flipped his truck. And that's the picture they sent. And I said, "God, there is no way. There is no way." Because I didn't know if he was alive or dead. I said, "But God, I cannot get there. But you can." And my prayer for Justin was interrupted by a miracle for John. John's feet was under the steering wheel of that truck, and his head was resting on the passenger's headrest and the top of that metal. And that boy's head was pinched in there, and he couldn't get out. He was stuck. He was stuck. And they came over, those sweet people in Darlington came over there and cut that boy out. And that helicopter landed in the field right beside where that truck was resting on its top. And they cut him out of his boots because they were stuck under the steering wheel. And they put him in that helicopter and they took him to the hospital. And he looked pretty rough. His whole head was swollen up. And the next day, he walked out of the hospital. Now, I was praying for one thing, but it was interrupted by a miracle. I still look at that and I stand amazed. Only God. Only God. So on New Year's Day, I was sitting in my chair, and Lori, we usually sit beside each other. We always sit beside each other. But for some reason, she was across the room, and I was in my chair. And I just had an overwhelming sense of peace. That had gone lacking a lot in 2020. 2020 was a rocky year. I mean, for a whole month, we'd crash the internet trying to get the word out. It was tough. Not being able to see our friends was tough. But I had such peace going into 2021. I told Lori, I said, this is going to be a year marked with peace for my life. Because there is no other option for me except Jesus. Somebody says, well, I think it was Robert told me, he said, listen, if I ever get in a wreck, I want to be in your family. Those guys in your family, they walk away. 2012, Grayson was hit on his motorcycle. My gosh. We relived that whole night. It's tough. But the only option was Jesus. The only option is Jesus. I'm going to have a happy new year. 2021, you should have a happy new year. All the junk that's going on in the world doesn't compare to Jesus. It just don't. He is the ultimate. And if I live to be 100, that's just a little wisp in the wind to eternity. But I know how I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm going to have a happy new year. This is how I know. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, right? And John had been out declaring the way of the Lord for Jesus. There's one coming. His name is Jesus. He's a great guy. He's going to save us from our sins and heal the sick, right? But old John the Baptist gets put in jail. And Jesus is out doing what Jesus done. And John calls a couple of his disciples over there and he says, listen. He says, listen. Go find him. And you ask him this. Are you the one? Are you really the one that I've been declaring that's coming? Or is there someone else? See, John was in a dark spot. John the Baptist was in a dark spot. He was in prison for declaring that this guy was the King of Kings. He was God. And while that disciple was there talking to Jesus, Jesus went about what he was doing, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, casting out the devil. I mean, he was busy. It was a lot to do back. It was a lot to do. There's still a lot to do. But there was a lot to do. And then Jesus turned around and looked at those disciples of John, and he said, you do this. You go back and you tell them this. Blind eyes were open. Deaf ears were open. The lame could walk, and the sick were healed. And then you tell him this. This is in the Good News Translation. It says, happy is the man who doesn't doubt who I am. I am guaranteed a happy new year because I never doubt who he is. I will never doubt who he is. And if I ever have a flicker of a moment, I've got pictures of who he is. Now, I want you to have a happy new year too. And I want to leave you with this. as you stand up. John Ross's head was pinched in that truck. He couldn't move. All he could do was scream. Scream for help. All he could see was the mess that was around him and that metal pressing in on him. There's a lot of people with pinched heads in the world. All they can see is just that little bit. And I'm just encouraging you to let your only option be Jesus. He is the only way. He is the option. And then never doubt it. Never doubt it. I was 20 years old. I was getting set to go to medical school and all excited about it, right? But I knew if I go to medical school that me and Lori, we were over. I mean, that's the truth. That was not going to be a good thing for that. And I was running from God and fighting God and didn't really like God and hated the church. I just did. And I didn't like all the stuff that went on in it. I was raised in church. You know, my pawpaw was a preacher. My daddy was a preacher. You know, and but then one day, God spoke to my heart about Amber, my baby. And it just changed everything. Everything changed just with one thing he said to me. And I remember being like 20 years old and making a decision that my only option for the rest of my life was Jesus and what he said. Didn't go to med school, as you can see. Best decision I ever made. So make that decision today. Make that decision for your life and for your family's life that it's all Jesus. And you will have a happy new year. Don't doubt it. And the same goes for you watching on Facebook today. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're going through, and how you're dealing with it. Jesus is your answer. He is your answer. So, Father, I thank you today for